making the Hall of Fame. After a stellar career with the Colorado Rockies, Walker thinks he knows why he hasn't yet made it into the Baseball Hall of Fame after having been on the ballot 8 times. "I can't fault myself," he said. "I played for a major league team that happened to be in Denver."
I love the start of that. "Yeah, it's not my fault."
Yeah, not my deal.
"I take no blame in this.
If that's a problem and if that's going to be an issue for them, then get rid of the team and move it elsewhere if it's going to be that big of an issue." Now check out this quote. "No needles went in my ass.
There you go.
I played the game clean, but
there you
go. Played in the ballpark, and it's almost like Coors Field is my PED. Larry Walker.
Well, I'm pulling up his old Baseball Reference, right?
Uh-huh.
And before he went to Colorado, he was with Montreal. And he maxed out at 23 homers, a .301 batting average, .506 on the slugging percentage. Quite frankly, he wouldn't have been a Hall of Fame player if he stayed in Montreal. I mean, just quite frankly. 22, 23 home runs a year. Somewhere around, you know, some years he batted .241, .265. I mean, he had .322 his last year in Montreal and finished 11th in MVP voting. Like, those guys don't make the Hall of Fame. No. Now, when he gets to Colorado and he gets to Coors Field, all of a sudden he's blasting 49 bombs, 36 bombs, 37, 38, 26. Like, Uncle Larry, like, you got helped. You got helped a lot.
Well, this interview was also with a Montreal radio station. So I wonder if that had something to do with those comments.
I wonder what they said about him, because I'm looking at just your Montreal numbers, and don't get me wrong, you're 26 by the time you leave, 27. You know, maybe you would have become a better player there, but your numbers in Montreal don't scream Hall of Fame, buddy.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Well, staying on the topic of baseball, which I happen to be a big fan of, longtime big league outfielder Oscar Gamble died today.
Who?
According to MLB.com, Oscar Gamble.
Never heard of him.
Well, the cause of death was not revealed. Gamble spent part of 17 seasons in the majors, stretching from 1969 to 1985. That's probably why we haven't heard of him. He played for 7 teams during that time, appearing most frequently with the Yankees. Finished his career with 200 home runs. Earned an MVP vote in 1977, so... But he died today. LPGA golfer is walking back her comments that Donald Trump, quote, cheats like hell.
At golf?
His golfing excursions.
Well, you know,
well,
the Stormy, what's her name? Stormy,
yeah,
Winters.
Last night, did
whatever.
You see that last night on Kimmel?
I saw your tweet about it. I tried to turn it over, and I was like, I'm not. Is it any good?
It wasn't any good. It was a really bad interview because.
And I like Kimmel a lot. I know a lot of people don't, especially with now that he's gotten really political, but I've always liked Jimmy Kimmel.
I do too. She couldn't say anything. And so the interview was really kind of cringeworthy because of her, supposed non-disclosure agreement. She couldn't talk about it, so like he kept, I mean, it was kind of funny, I guess, the ways that he kept trying to get her to say stuff. Like he brought out 3 separate carrots, and he's like, if you had to pick a carrot, what would you pick? But at times it was kind of cringeworthy, kind of just because she couldn't say anything, it was a little awkward.
Yeah, I guess if you're Kimmel, you take the interview because the ratings, because of people like you that tuned in to watch,
yeah.
And me who went back and set my DVR, because I just actually canceled my series timer for Kimmel. You know, I was DVRing him every night, but I just never went back and watched it. And if it was something good, it would be on YouTube the next day.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really need to watch the late night shows anymore, because if it's a good clip, you'll see it on the internet the next day. So I went ahead and deleted it, and then you're like, oh, this Jimmy Kimmel show. So I tuned it over.
His opening monologue was pretty strong. I mean, he tried to get, you know, to his credit, I guess, he tried to get her to talk, but she couldn't talk, obviously. So
kind of weird to go on a talk show.
Yeah. That would be a good way to describe it. It was just weird. It was awkward.
When you can't talk, let's go on a talk show.
Yeah. And also the girl that was coming on to do the music, she got bumped to next week, so she didn't get to come on.
Because the girl went too long?
The interview went too long, yeah. I forget her name. It was Eliza something.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But it was interesting, I guess. I'd rather see her on, like, Howard Stern.
If you can't talk, you can't talk. But, yeah, like, if you are going to – if she was going to open up and give any details, I don't want it to be on ABC.
Yeah.
I'd want it to kind of be uncut.
Yeah, I'd rather see it on, like, Stern. Stern could probably get it out of her.
Well, anyway. Non-disclosure is probably worth a pretty penny.
Yeah, $130,000, I think, right?
Oh, is that it?
Is that the alleged amount?
I don't know. We could raise more than $130,000 to get her details. You could raise more than $130,000 to help her break that non-disclosure if she was wanting to talk.
Maybe we should try to do that. Maybe,
I mean, we probably can't.
Maybe we should book her.
No.
Maybe.
Ben, get on it. Get her on the show. It's your job as producer.
It's a thought.
I'll give you to the end of next week.
So anyway, this LPGA golfer, Suzanne Peterson, who is a friend of Trump's, she reportedly said that Trump, quote, cheats like hell at golf. Now she's saying her quote was misrepresented by people looking to make a headline. I mean, she said, quote, he cheats like hell, so I don't know how he is in business. They say that if you cheat at golf, you cheat at business. I'm pretty sure he pays his caddy well, since no matter how far into the woods he hits the ball, it's in the middle of the fairway when we get there. So, she says he cheats at golf. Now she's walking it back. A couple of Nebraska players hospitalized after a workout. Have you seen this?
Scott Frost out here killing players? Is he pulling the Willie Taggart?
It appears that way, yes.
Whipping these boys into shape?
Frost confirmed to the Journal Star that two players, wide receiver Tyjon Lindsey and defensive lineman Dylan Owen, were hospitalized after one of the team's winter conditioning workouts. After being treated for rhabdomyolysis.
Okay.
So I don't know what that is. Both players were released from the hospital and after a couple of days returned to the team. Anything that happens in the program is my responsibility. I feel terrible about it. That's what Frost said. Hopefully we never have to go through this again, but we'll certainly learn from it. Conditioning workouts. So, yeah, it kind of sounds like he's killing players.
You were telling me a story off the air about your football conditioning, right?
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
And you said you just would have quit.
Yeah.
You just would have walked off the court, off the field.
I think that was on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it was, too.
I was never a very, in terms of endurance, as you could imagine, I was never great.
What do we know what they were hospitalized with? I know you said it, but what does that mean?
Let me Google it. Rhabdomyolysis.
Yeah, just copy and paste that right quick.
It's a breakdown of muscle tissue that releases a damaging protein into the blood.
Is it from being just like too hot, too dehydrated, I guess?
Can damage the kidneys.
Yeah, okay. So it's probably similar to what the Oregon players had when Willie Taggart tried to kill him. And then everyone's like, okay, did we make a mistake hiring Willie Taggart? And turns out they did because he left in 1 year. But Oregon wasn't bad last year whenever they had their healthy team. They're actually surprisingly pretty good.
It's a rapid destruction of skeletal muscle resulting in leakage into the urine of the muscle protein myoglobin.
Yeah. That is a bad start to the Nebraska era for Scott Frost, but
common things that can cause it: severe burns, physical torture, a prolonged coma, muscle trauma, cocaine use with related hypothermia. So if you're doing a lot of cocaine in the cold, or extreme physical activity. I'm going to guess that's probably what caused it here.
I don't think they were all sitting around doing a bunch of cocaine.
Out in the cold.
In front of the team, at least.
Yeah, I mean.
Scott Frost says the workout that got them in trouble was the 32 to 36 minute weight workout. Says all they were doing was lifting, and the workout was supposed to be longer, but they actually cut it down to try and break the kids in.
weird, though, that two reacted poorly, like, same time, I guess.
Well, I mean, this happened days later. Said the next day, 2 days later, the two players came back, said they weren't feeling good, said the that their urine was discolored, and at that point, they took them to the hospital. That's not exactly what I remember happening at Oregon. The stories that came out of Oregon this time last year were, like, players collapsing on the field.
Was that in the heat? Or
no, it was from the workouts. I don't imagine. It was like this time last year, so I don't think it would be heat.
Right. Yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. We'll see if Scott Frost kills any of his players.
At least Scott Frost is kind of owning up to it and giving quotes out, acting like, yeah, we kind of messed up. We went a little bit too hard. So that's a good sign, I guess.
Said they'll learn from it.
We'll learn. We'll get better.
That's good.
We'll get better.
Last thing here. There is a bill proposed that would ban fraternities and sororities at UT and other state colleges and universities. The legislation HB 2042 would, however, allow professional fraternities that promote, quote, the interests of a particular profession and honor society.
So basically, like, yeah, business fraternities. And stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that. But, like, regular fraternities and sororities would be banned at UT under the new bill.
Do we think there's a chance this happens?
The bill sponsor is Representative John DeBerry, a Democrat out of Memphis. In order for this to happen, it would need to have a Senate sponsor. And as of WBIR's publication here last night, it did not have one. All bills must be sponsored by members of both legislative chambers to have a hope of passing. And, of course, this, the reason for this is because of hazing.
Yeah. And not only, well, I guess hazing is lumped into the stuff that happened. Now, was it at Penn State where the fraternity brother drank himself to death, fell down the stairs, and the brothers didn't take him to the hospital, and he died, and the parents are suing the school?
Yeah, Penn State had one. LSU had something similar. They had a kid die, I believe, in the fall. And that was a big deal. So, you know, talk is kind of heated up on that front again. As far as UT is concerned, last year, Sigma Pi Epsilon? I've never been good with these Greek names.
Sigma Pi Epsilon.
I was not a frat guy. They were placed on social probation after reports of extreme intoxication and injury, which required medical attention. In late 2016, the headquarters of Sigma Chi suspended the UT chapter after revelations of new members being, quote, physically, mentally, and emotionally harassed and hazed. So there have been a couple of incidents here, you know. And then, you know, you look back to a few years ago, of course, the old butt chugging.
That wasn't hazing, though. That was
that was just getting really drunk through the butt.
I'm trying to ignore the dragging through the mud butt chugging.
Fiji frat, I'm pretty sure, has actually been kicked off.
It's been dismissed. It's been gone
this year because I got a couple buddies that were in that.
I mean,
yeah.
Theoretically, you could do that with your friends. I don't necessarily lump that into fraternity behavior. The hazing's different.
Well, I was gonna say, are we still on butt chugging or hazing?
I was on the butt chugging.
Oh, okay.
Lumping that in with the hazing's a little bit different. Those guys are just trying to get hammered. Those guys are just trying to drink a lot. Like, that's something theoretically that you could do with a group of your friends. My friends, we wouldn't have done that, but you could get a group of three or four people around to do that. The hazing stuff, I guess, is the real problem. Because binge drinking, sure, it happens in fraternities, but it happens among any group of friends, or it can, I guess. Right? But, like, to bring somebody into your group of friends, you're not jumping them in or making them crawl through broken glass and things of that nature. So I do think they're separate. I do think fraternities and sororities get a bad rep for the binge drinking, them as being different than us. Like, sure, there are some frat guys and sorority girls that I look at and just be like, you'd kind of be a loser if you weren't in this fraternity. But there's people that I look at like, oh, those guys are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm not picking apart or picking on them or
of course,
have anything to do it. I think fraternities get a bad rap when it comes to the drinking culture on campus. I think that's just college.
Yeah, a lot of people drink. Yeah, yeah. That's not just.
We were never in frats. Me and you probably did our fair share of drinking.
A good deal of drinking.
Binge drinking and partying and drinking way too much. Like,
absolutely.
Not with fraternities and sororities. Like, I get that.
No, I drink with them too.
Well, no, but I'm saying like not being a member of the.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
They get a bad rap when it comes to that.
Are there other groups that experience hazing besides frats and sororities?
Like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, for
cults,
a while.
I guess. Cults?
Cults? Well, I wasn't going to go there. I was going to say.
Football
gangs,
teams?
Gangs. I was going to say, yeah, football teams in the NFL got in trouble. They had to quit doing it.
Yeah. So it's not like.
It would be stuff as, you know, sometimes they would tape people up to goalposts and get in trouble. You know, remember Tebow got the horseshoe haircut. He had to get the Friar haircut. But, like, yeah, teams, any group can do hazing, but
I do
think.
It's not like frats are the only ones.
But I do think that one's more fair to put onto them on college. Because my group of friends, we didn't jump anybody into the group or haze them into it. Like, I think that one's more fair than the binge drinking umbrella that they get credited for.
I can think back to, you know, just high school. Like, I imagine hazing is a real problem in a lot of teams and a lot of locker rooms.
Well, yeah. But the whole initiation process always, like, that was one of the reasons I was like, yeah, I'm not joining a frat. I'm not doing that type of thing, right? Like, I'm not getting on a crammed elevator and riding up and down for hours. Like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
At my time, I think my freshman year is when they got in trouble for, like I said, making pledges crawl through broken glass with like poop on it, and everybody got staph infections and everyone got sick. Like, I was like, I'm not doing that.
No thanks. Hazing's bad. Okay.
But yeah, I like on college campuses, I'm sure some teams maybe experience a little bit of that with the freshman hazing, but sure. I do think it's more fair that fraternities kind of get thrown under that. As far as this bill goes, I don't think it's going to pass. Like, are we at the point where we're going to get rid of all fraternities and sororities?
I doubt it.
Right? Like,
there's too much old money there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, for this to, like I said, it would need a sponsor in both legislative chambers. And plus, then they'd have to vote, and it would be, I doubt they're going away. A lot of old money.
Let's catch a break. Come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program, this segment is brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. We put up our Toyota Knoxville poll question. When it comes to weddings, especially of people that you like but you don't really love, would you rather be invited to the wedding and feel obligated to go or just not get invited at all? Put it up a little bit ago. 250 votes in so far. Cody, who do you think's leading the way? Invite me, please, or leave me alone?
Leave me alone.
63%. Ding, 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 ding. You are the winner. That means you get to go first in power rankings. And Ben didn't have the music ready. You get to go first in power rankings. I've got the power. Power lies on their side. Go, go, power. Rankings. Go, go, power. Rankings. Rankings. I need more than power. Rankings. That's right, power rankings. Today's topic. How do we get on potato chips, by the way?
Doritos overrated, underrated.
Ah, yeah. Doritos overrated, underrated. So if you missed overrated, underrated, that's hour two. Go check out the podcast. I made the case Doritos underrated. That got us into thinking our top five potato chips. Cody, you have the honor, sir.
Okay, one question before I give you the definitive list.
All right, let's hear it.
Do we consider ability to pair with dips As in, okay, here's my dilemma. I would include Fritos scoops because of their dipping ability, but as a chip, they're not anything special.
I included the Fritos dips with the idea that you can scoop, but I also like them without having to scoop, if that makes sense.
I'm going to go strictly chips, I guess. Maybe,
that's your decision.
Maybe some other day we can power rank dips.
No.
That could be a good one.
Probably not, because I only like two. That'd be really bad.
You only like two dips?
Yeah.
Dips would be a good power rankings. I mean, love dips.
I like guacamole's good and salsa. That's about it for me. Cheese.
Is that a cheese dip guy?
No.
Ugh. Really?
Ugh.
Yeah. I always saw you as a cheese dip guy.
No. People get cheese dip, I'm just like, what are we doing?
You don't like it like Velveeta cheese dip or anything?
No.
Queso? Nothing?
No. I don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, to each
their own. Too much cheese, no.
Well, you're not going to like my chips list then.
Hey, go ahead.
Because they're literally every item besides one has cheese.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, number five for me. I mentioned it earlier, the Cheetos Puffs. Can I tell you something really disgusting?
No.
When I was a boy,
I said
when
no.
I was about six or seven, sometimes the only snacks that I would have, this is going to gross you out. Sometimes the only snacks, this is going to be worse than like the sausage pizza and the grape jelly thing. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Cheetos Puffs dipped in chocolate pudding. The snack packs.
Jesus.
I had a lot of problems. I had a lot of issues. Sometimes they'd just be laying around. I got creative. I was like, the salty cheese, the puff into the chocolate pudding. Yeah, pretty gross, right?
Can you just get to your power?
All right, so Cheetos Puffs, number five. Number four for me, I'm going to pay respect to the Doritos.
Now I'm just going to picture you as Cartman eating your cheesy puff.
No, no. What was Cartman? He would get the McDonald's fries and the KFC gravy. Dip the Mickey D's fries in the KFC gravy.
Ugh.
I've never done that, but.
You're making me sick. Just go.
All right.
Just go.
Number four, Doritos. Paying respect. I'm just lumping them together here. I'm going, I like the Cool Ranch, okay. I like the spicy ones. I like the classic best, just the nacho cheese.
Mm-hmm.
They're durable. They're fine. Put them on my sandwich.
My stomach is turning right now thinking about this.
I'm getting hungry. I may get some chips at lunch. Number three, chili cheese Fritos. You ever had those?
Uh-huh.
Very good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Little bit of a kick. Nothing too much. Number two for me, classic, Lay's sour cream and onion. I like the I like to put those on a sandwich, too. I'm assuming you don't like those.
I don't.
You don't like anything sour creamy, right?
I used to like the sour cream and onion okay when I was a kid, but yeah, then I just eventually just I hit the.
Okay, so you don't like sour cream in general, right?
Yeah, not really.
And you don't like cheese, right?
I mean, I like cheese. Don't paint me as a guy that doesn't like cheese. I just.
He said you don't like cheese dip.
I just haven't got the appeal of cheese dip.
I feel like anybody.
I think visually it just doesn't appeal to me.
Well, that's just weird.
The smell. I really don't like cheese dip, but I like cheese. Like. On my sandwiches, I get cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, on my burgers, I get cheese. Like, I like cheese. Don't paint me as an anti-cheese guy. I'm not Davy Hudson out there getting pizza off or getting pizza without cheese. I'm not that guy.
What?
Davy gets pizza without cheese.
What?
I don't know. Just.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, number one for me is the Ruffles cheddar and sour cream.
Okay.
Like those. You can dip those in the ranch dip. They're wonderful.
I don't know how we got to that point where we had like one that overlapped. But my number five, it's a classic, and it barely edged out the barbecue twist. You know what I'm talking about? The barbecue twist maybe deserves credit just because it gives you the most in the bag. You get a bag of the barbecue twist, it's four to the top. No air in that one. Just the aftertaste bothers me a little bit, so I had to bump it off. It's honorable mention. Number five for me, just the oven-baked original from Lay's. Just the Lay's original baked. I like those. Number four, I gave respect to the Tostitos scoops. You got to put Tostitos on the list because we won the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Our national championship was sponsored by Tostitos. I will always have respect for the Tostitos.
Now the Tostitos scoops with the Velveeta cheese dip, that is the way to go.
Number three, Pringles.
Ugh.
A classic. I love Pringles. I love putting them in my mouth like a duck and making duck faces and going quack, 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 quack as I eat my Pringles. I love Pringles. They're number three for me. Number two, Doritos. But unlike you, I'm not just going to lump them together because they're very different. And the red Doritos are by far the most superior of the Doritos. So it gets my number two spot. And number one, the should be undisputed GOAT, the Lay's barbecue chips, number one.
Those are good chips.
No, they're great chips.
Hey, they're good.
The Lay's barbecue is number one. They just are.
I still can't get over Pringles. Pringles, really?
You don't like Pringles?
Ugh, Pringles. I mean, I like them, don't get me wrong. But why do they have to put them in a tube?
They want to be different.
I could never get my big hands inside the tube.
I know. If only you could just tip it up a little bit and let them slide down.
Yeah, but that, then
if
they get
everywhere. If only you could
have
thought about that.
They get everywhere. Just put them
now
in a bag.
Now I'm picturing you as a bear not being able to get in somewhere. Rawr, just not understanding. If I turn it over, it'll come out.
Rawr. Just put them in the bag. Why do you got to put them in the damn tube?
I like the tube.
It's annoying because then you try to get just one off the top and it's like, and then you break it and you got to get two and then.
It's different. I used to love getting little mini Pringle cans at school.
Very annoying.
You didn't have to worry about it being all air. You know what you got.
Well, then now, okay, now that's, yeah, that's true.
You don't have to worry about it being all air. You know exactly how much you got. A tube worth. A sleeve. Then afterwards, you could wash the tube out and put stuff in it. Put coins in there.
Then your coins are all dusty from the Pringles.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. You just cash them in afterwards. That was our power rankings, and it was brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Go out, see Toyota Knoxville. It's the last day of their January special. If you waited till today, you are running behind. They're offering 2018 vehicles at the 2017 price. You got like a couple hours left. Go out there. You know where it's at. 10455 Parkside Drive, right there off of the Lovell Road exit with the American flag hanging down. We'll be back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. There's one thing. Couple of house cleaning items. A tweeter writes in, Doritos are corn tortilla chips. So I have obviously switched to just chip power rankings and not potato chip power rankings. My bad.
Did you put potato chip power
rankings? Yeah, I messed up. I changed it to just chip power rankings. My bad. I just assumed they were all potatoes, chips, but yeah, fair point. Foster Corley says, no Funyuns? SMH. No, I hate Funyuns. Funyuns are the grossest chip ever.
Big fan of Funyuns.
They stink. I don't even know what they taste like. I don't even know what they taste like because they smell too bad to eat. I'm out on that.
Josh says, just to me, this would be in the top five of my power rankings. Thanks for leaving out barbecue Lay's. Those suck.
What was his name?
Josh. At Juzby.
Oh, well, Josh can go to hell.
I agree with Josh.
Well, Cody Mack can go to hell.
Well, I expected that.
Isaiah Thomas currently has a defensive rating of 117.5 with the Cavs. That is not good. Not only is it the worst by any player that plays at least 25 minutes per game this season, it's in fact, Cody, the worst by any player in the last 25 years. Isaiah Thomas, the worst defensive player in the last 25 years, according.
That seems like a big stat. Can you repeat it one more time? He's the worst defensive player in 25 years?
Isaiah Thomas currently has a defensive rating of 117.5 with the Cavs. That is based, you know, usually about like 100 possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, per 100 possessions, they give up 117.5 points. I'm pretty sure is how that works out. And it's the worst by any player this season and the worst by any player in the last 25 years.
Goodness.
So far, he's only put 11 games, but he's a bad defender. He's not going to get better at defending. Like, his shot's messed up. Maybe that gets better with his hip getting a little better, he's not going to get much better at defense. He was really bad last year. He's really bad this year. The Cavs, I keep saying, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And they're not going to be able to trade Kevin Love, but I really, really think they should revisit trading Isaiah Thomas. I just would. He's a free agent after the year. He's going to want big money. You cannot give him big money if you're the Cavs. You can't.
He just doesn't play defense.
He doesn't play defense, and right now is shooting. Like last year in Boston, you could almost live with him being so bad at defense because the other players on the team are good at defense. Al Horford's a smart defender. Avery Bradley, really good defender. They'd bring in Marcus Smart. He's a good defender. Like you could get by with it, but the Cavs, they don't have any good defenders, really. So when you put the worst defender of the last 25 years, you're going to have a bad time. You're going to have a bad time. So far, Cleveland is 15.6 points per 100 possessions worse than average with him on the court. They are a bad basketball team when Isaiah Thomas is on the court. Last night, they lose to Detroit, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit, the guys that just traded for Blake Griffin. Yeah, Blake Griffin wasn't on the team yet, and the three players they traded also not on the team. So they lost to a makeshift Detroit team without four players. Now, granted, Kevin Love got hurt in the first quarter. I get that. But they still gave up 125 points. Of Detroit's starters, all five of them scored at least 19 points. That's right. All starters scored at least 19 points last night for the Pistons. Isaiah Thomas, game worse, minus 25 during his 32 minutes. Did you hear that? They got outscored by 25 points with Isaiah Thomas on the court. That's although, like, I do think they'll make some type of move to get better. They have to. Either that or they have to blow it up. Other guys have decently sized to big contracts that will make it fit, and they just have to trade their first round. Isaiah or the Nets pick, one of the two. Yeah. I mean, to me, the trade that makes the most sense is still Charlotte. You take on Dwight Howard's contract, which isn't great, but it's not terrible in today's NBA, and you bring in Kemba Walker, and you trade your Nets pick, Isaiah Thomas, and a couple of salary fillers, and you just do that. To me, that's the best move they can make because getting DeAndre Jordan would help, I guess, but you don't have anything to trade the Clippers, especially now that Kevin Love's out. You have nothing to trade the Clippers other than that Nets pick. You just don't. The worst thing they can do is stand pat.
And just keep going the way they're going.
They can't do that, and they can't rely on buyout contracts because there's not going to be anybody that gets bought out that's going to swing this. And you can't waste you either can't waste your last year of LeBron and let him leave for nothing, or you can't waste another year you have with him by building for the future for hopefully a role player in the top of the draft next year that probably won't be good until LeBron's year 17 or 18 in the league. The worst thing they can do is stand pat. I don't think they'll trade LeBron. LeBron has one of those coveted no-trade clauses, but I do question if they were like, hey, LeBron, we want to trade you, if his pride would make him let him veto it or if they could swing something. Because right now they're a dead team walking. Kevin Love, their second best player, out 6 to 8 weeks. Isaiah Thomas, the worst defender of the last 25 years. Ugh, they're cooked.
Sounds that way.
We'll pump the brakes or keep rolling. We'll wrap up this show on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Age. Last call here on the program as we broadcast live in the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. You want to go first or second?
I'll go first today.
Oh, wow. You must have a good one.
Well, I don't know if I have a good one, but I got a lot of them.
So all right. Let's go.
We'll see how you feel about them. Let's start off with this kangaroo and bicyclist. Now, I'll admit, you need to watch the video because I laughed out loud repeatedly during the break. The video's hilarious, but just picture it in your head right now because I know this is radio, so you can't see the video, but picture in your head a group of cyclists leisurely riding along a road in Australia when all of a sudden a big, ugly kangaroo just hops a fence and takes them out. It's really hilarious. These people in Australia, six riders were cycling through the Boona region, which is in southeast Queensland, and on Friday when a kangaroo suddenly emerged from a bush from the bushes lining the road and leaped into a female rider. Just kicked her straight off her bike and into the ditch.
Always love those.
Yeah, kicked her straight off the bike into the ditch. It was that's pretty much all the story has, but it was really funny.
Need to see the video.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks will be starring in a new biopic. Probably should have started in the opposite direction of saying Mr. Rogers is getting his own biopic. Tom Hanks will be playing Mr. Rogers in the movie You Are My Friend.
Okay. Well,
I can see that.
Well, I think you did it the right way because I might have passed on Mr. Rogers, but I do love Tom Hanks.
So you love Tom Hanks more than Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that's about accurate.
Yeah.
I'd say I do too. I feel more of a connection to Tom Hanks than I do Mr. Rogers. Now, granted, we're a little bit too young for the Mr. Rogers phenomenon, I think, but
he's the one that was like
always wearing that stupid sweater vest.
Had like a real slow kind of voice, like
just
a
real kind, real kind,
real nice.
Yeah,
he did like the morning stuff. With
I don't know
the
if
kids.
It was a morning show. I feel like it was an after
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right?
Yeah, I feel like it was an after school show.
Yeah, maybe so. I never really watched it. I was busy watching Pulp Fiction.
As a kid?
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Residents in Bangor, Maine. Beer cans? German thieves chocolate. Lots of chocolate. Pop your brakes! Police say two truck trailers loaded with 44 tons 48 and a half U.S. tons of chocolate were stolen in southern Germany, and there's no sign of the perpetrators. Police said Monday the trailers were packed with $496,000 worth of chocolate, almost half $1 million in chocolate. They were stolen from an industrial park in Freiburg. One was found Saturday, hauled by a Polish truck that had stopped at a rest area near the Germany-France border. The driver fled on foot, and the trailer was still full of the stolen chocolate. Second trailer was found later near the border of France. Two-thirds of that chocolate and the thief were gone. Police say they've launched a search for the thieves and are appealing for any witnesses to come forward. What do you do with that much chocolate?
Eat it?
I guess. That's a lifetime of chocolate.
Sell it? Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Hey,
you become the most popular guy on Valentine's Day.
That's a good point. Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Or you leverage it and say, hey, we'll give you all this chocolate back for $100
million. $100 million.
That was a bad Dr. Evil impression. But
oh, that was supposed to be Dr. Evil?
I mean, I was just going with $100 million. That's what he asked for when he had the missile ready to blow up the Earth. And they're like, oh, $100
million. $100 million.
$100 million. Yeah, that's easy. We'll get that to you.
I can't think of the Dr. Evil voice. Million. What is his best-known line that he says?
No.
How about no?
Or the $100 million one.
No. Out no.
Wow, you...
I actually already read it.
Well, this isn't about your personal... Busting up the board meeting to say, hey, the students are upset. Sagatok man says his dog qualifies for unemployment. Despite fake unemployment claims being on the rise, a West Michigan says it's also hitting his extended family. And by that, he means his dog. Michael Haddock, an attorney in Sagatok, says he received a letter from the State of Michigan Unemployment Insurance Agency being addressed to Michael Ryder. Ryder is his dog. I got a letter from the unemployment office on Saturday. My name is Michael. My dog is Ryder. Oh, never mind. They just made a mistake. That's a stupid story.
It happens.
They can't all be winners.
Yeah.
Basically, they just made a mistake and sent a letter to his dog. I thought he was trying to get these damn headlines are sometimes clickbaity. They got me. I got real with some clickbait. They just accidentally sent a name.
Yeah. They can be clickbait.
Go ahead. Call me an idiot.
No, it's fine.
I don't like when you show me compassion. I would be calling you an idiot.
I know you would. I'm trying to be the bigger person here. I don't want to call you a mean name, idiot. WrestleMania.
Yeah. You know how to get that pump braked.
WrestleMania 35. This is actually breaking pump news.
Break. What an idiot.
Well, I guess breaking news at 11:07 a.m., so it's
fresh. It's
almost 2 hours
old. I saw the headline. I don't know where it's at.
WrestleMania 35 will be held at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, promoted as New York, of course. Philadelphia and Detroit were the other front runners, but I'm told New York is a done deal at this point.
What is the weather like in New York in April? Pretty good, right?
It's not really cold, right?
I mean,
probably not terrible. I mean,
it's going to be outdoors. I mean, if it's raining, it rained in Miami when they did it in Miami, and they had the ring under something to protect it, so it wasn't a big deal, other than the audience having to sit in the rain.
It can still be cold here in April, sometimes. So I would imagine it could be cold. Probably not frigid, but could, I don't know, 50s, 40s? I don't know. But anyway, yeah, they're going to do it in New Jersey, according to Robbie Fox from Barstool.
Red-faced teachers were left to apologize after porn shows instead of Paddington Bear movie. In a letter to parents and carers, the school explained, "We had a failure to monitor our filters. During year five's Golden Time Today, while watching Paddington Bear, we had a failure in our filters," they wrote. "An appropriate image came up. This school has strict measures to prevent such images appearing. Apparently, porn came on their computers while the kids are just sitting there trying to watch the Paddington Bear movie." The Paddington Bear movie looks kind of creepy, to be honest. That bear looks kind of creepy.
Yeah, he really does.
And too lifelike.
He's too skinny, for one thing.
That's true.
That red hat.
Red hat.
Yeah.
"Dear parents, we are investigating this as priority with our IT team, and we will keep all parents and carers updated."
Paddington looks like a bear that's been on drugs.
Yeah.
That's
he does.
What Paddington looks like.
I guess if he's not on drugs because he's a bear, it might be like rabies. Maybe he has rabies.
Why is he so thin? He just looks frail in the face. His eyes are, he's got bags under his eyes.
"Some children take it with a pinch of salt, but other kids are traumatized."
I wonder what was showing.
That's a good question.
Because traumatized, yeah, I mean, depending on what scene you're at, you know. How do you confuse that, though? How did that happen?
Their filters, I don't know. There's been no explanation. All they said was our filters didn't take care of it, and it popped up.
I guess you just type in the P and first things you got are Paddington or porn.
I'm guessing they didn't just type in the search bar Paddington. I'm guessing that's not what happened.
Paddington, how do you spell that? P-O-R-N-H-U-B. That sounds right.
It might just be a prank gone bad.
Could be.
It might just be a prank gone bad.
Well, it'll maybe it'll come in useful for them someday.
This show's over. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We are Fan Run Radio.